MyRock Podcast tager dig med backstage.
Velkommen til MyRock Podcast. Mit navn er Stine Skovgaard, og jeg skal være ærlig og sige, at jeg har glædet mig rigtig meget til den her episode. Du skal møde en mand, som jeg igennem snart 5 år har forsøgt at få en aftale med, men hver gang så er der kommet noget i vejen, og senest en strømafbrydelse. Men nu er det endelig lykkedes, og den næste halve times tid skal du være i selskab med en fremragende sanger og guitarist, der både spiller med Mark Tremonti i Alter Bridge, med Slash i The Conspirators, og som end også har tid til at lave sit eget solomateriale. Og hvis du ikke allerede har gættet det, så hedder dagens hovedperson Miles Kennedy, og sammen med Alter Bridge udgiver han den 6. november EP'en Walk the Sky 2.0. Den kommer vi selvfølgelig til at snakke om, men også om, hvordan man passer på sin stemme, om at skulle skrive musik til så mange forskellige projekter, om hans guitar og om ikonet Eddie Van Halen, som vi desværre mistede for nyligt. Velkommen til MyRock Podcast med Miles Kennedy. Online right now is Miles Kennedy of Alter Bridge, of his own solo project, of Slash and the Conspirators, and so much more. Miles, if I were to place you in a box, where should I put you?
that's a tough question, because I like to try lots of different things musically, so that's kind of a challenge genre-wise. But I guess if there's one box, it would be a guy who likes to play music, musicolic box.
And actually, that's why I like you so much, because I want to tell you that I wanted to get this interview done in, I guess, 4 or 5 years now. But it never worked out. But now it does. And the reason is that AltaBridge is coming out with the new and improved Walk the Sky 2.0. It's been a year since the first album. Tell me, why is it important to come out with the 2.0, the deluxe version, right now?
Well, we were supposed to be touring throughout the year, and obviously that those plans got shut down due to the pandemic. So we got to thinking, well, what could we do to kind of keep the cycle alive to some degree, the best that we can? And we figured, well, let's put out an EP with some live cuts, because for the markets we haven't had the opportunity to play on this tour, we figured, well, we'll just take some of those songs that we played live on the three tours prior and make a record with them, and then let's include a new song as well. So we're just trying to put our time to use.
With the legacy of being AltaBridge, is it important to stay present?
I believe it's, yeah, I think it's very important to stay present. In depending how you define present, pertaining to being in a rock band or just being a human being. But I love that word. It's one of my favorite words. So yeah, definitely staying present is paramount.
In my meaning, it was to say that AltaBridge is still here, even though we have the worldwide pandemic, and even though that everything's being shut down all around us. So being able to say, hey, we're still here for you guys.
Yeah. I think that somebody told me something a long time ago that really stuck with me as a musician. He said, you know, being in a band or being a recording artist is like being a shark. When you stop swimming, you die. And it's the idea that once you aren't out there, it's a matter of presence. It's a matter of staying relevant and continuing to have, whether it be songs or tours or videos or something out there, to let the public know that you're still swimming. And especially in the age we live now, where there's so much information and there's so much that you can do with your time, you have to stay current. You have to stay relevant.
But being in the time we are now, not being able to tour, not being able to get together socially, has that made an impact on how you have been working during this lockdown?
Sure. I mean, for example, the song that we cut for the 2.0 record, Last Rites, I had to do that 3,000 miles away from where everybody else was. So I unfortunately have a home studio and was able to utilize technology. But yeah, the idea of going down there and recording it in person at that point when we did it just was pretty unrealistic. So yeah, we're definitely utilizing technology.
So when normally writing for AltaBridge, are you all together in the writing process, or do you do stuff individually?
So Mark and I, as the primary writers, we do it individually. And this was a unique record, Walk the Sky, and not just 2.0, but it was unique in the sense that for the first time, we were actually demoing entire tracks on our own. And it used to be that Mark and I would get together and we would take our various parts and sections for songs and put them together. And it was kind of like a musical puzzle. And then we would bring them to the guys and our producer Elvis, and we'd work from there with the arrangements. But with this one, because of the amount of touring that I was doing, the amount of touring Mark was doing, that wasn't an option. So we ended up demoing things, and then we got together for about 2 weeks prior to actually recording the record last year for pre-production, and kind of tearing things down and rebuilding them and making the record with Elvis.
But how do you feel working that way? Is it better for you to work alone, or do you feel more inspired when in others' company?
That's a good question. For me, it really depends. If I'm in a state where I feel like I've been for the last few years, where I just feel a lot of ideas are brewing, and I like to chase those ideas down on my own. And especially as I've gotten more savvy in the recording world on my own with, you know, programming drums and just going in and playing everything, and then being able to step back and listen to a demo, I feel very inspired for some reason. And so I'm enjoying that. But with that said, I also really get off on that chemical reaction when you get in a room with another writer and you play an idea, or he or she plays an idea, and you go, oh, hey, what if we tried this, and vice versa? And things will happen that you normally wouldn't have thought of that can be really special. So it's for me, I like it both ways. You know, I like to try both approaches.
And you can say, well, you have, well, not even the best of both worlds, because you have a lot of bands to play in and your solo career. How do you actually define on what song is for what project?
Well, it's usually pretty easy because they're all so different. It's generally not too difficult. And also because of the way the process works, like if I'm working with Slash, he generally has the music side that he'll present. And then I'm like, okay, well, I'll take it and put my melodies to it and put my lyrics to it. Where with Alter Bridge, yeah, that's a little different. And sometimes there might be a musical idea that I have, or a riff or a chord progression and melody that might kind of straddle the fence between where it could be, whether it could this be in the solo project or could this be with Alter Bridge. That one tends to sometimes the line tends to be blurred a little more.
And your latest solo album, the Year of the Tiger, came out 2 years ago. It's a much different sounding Miles Kennedy in opposing to what we know you for, like in Alter Bridge with the screaming guitars from you and Mark, and in the Conspirators where it's well more melodic, I guess. So is it like a creative outlet for you to do all these kind of things?
Yeah. It's really the solo thing was necessary for me, and that had been brewing for a while because there's a certain amount of compromise when you're in a band, and that's great, and that's how you evolve and create the kind of music that defines your sound. But with that said, there were so many ideas and so many things that I needed to express and document as a writer. Being prolific is a blessing and a curse, because what happens is you are able to deliver, you're able to always have material at the ready, but at the same time there's so much material that you're afraid no one will ever hear, and that's just that can be kind of heartbreaking. So the solo thing is definitely necessary for me continuing forward, just because I've got a lot of music left in me, and I want to get that out there.
And one of the ways that you get the music out is being one of, in my opinion, the greatest vocalists on the rock scene right now. Many times people overlook you as one of the finest guitarists as well. How do you feel? Are you more the vocalist, or are you more the guitarist?
Oh, that's very kind of you. That's a good question. I get that most people probably just think of me as a singer because of the way my career has played out. I play with two of the most talented guitar players you could ask for, and people who've Slash and Mark have defined certain eras in music. But with that said, if you were to ask me, just given where I started, I would probably say guitar player first, because that's what I do most of the time. I mean, singing has been a blessing because it's allowed me to express myself as a writer. And part of the reason I started singing was because I couldn't find a singer where I lived. And so I was just like, well, I better, because I was writing songs, and I was like, well, I better just learn how to do this myself. But it was really just a necessary reaction to me as a guitar player ultimately. So it's kind of funny looking back, if someone could have told me 30 years ago that this is where my life would end up, I would have been like, no way. Cause I thought I was going to be a session player. I thought I was going to be the guy in the studio with playing on people's records and whatnot as a guitar player.
Well, I guess that could make you a good earning anyway.
Yeah. I could be home.
let's talk about your guitar, because that's when you're talking to a guitarist, the best moment is when he or she describes his or her main guitar. So Miles, your main guitar, the PRS, why did you choose that for your main guitar?
That's a good question. And it's kind of like the same thing we talked about earlier. If you were to, what box would you put me in? And I'm kind of the same way with guitar. So with Alter Bridge, the PRS has worked very well from the Genesis because of the kind of music that it is. I generally lean towards their McCartys and also their 245s, which are like a single cut. And there's just something about the timbre of those instruments that's worked very well. With that said, I've also started to integrate Fender Telecasters in as well, because I discovered that with the ash body and the maple neck and the way that would complement Mark's sound, that was also worked really working really well within the certain songs. So, but then if you were to ask me, like in my solo thing, like I would tell you as an electric guitar player, it would be like Fender Telecaster or a Gibson 335. And then with Slash, you know, I'm using, I think, an SG. So I definitely jump around depending on which outfit I'm playing in, because it all goes back to that sound and goes back to that, what is going to fit in the slot sonically. And the PRSs have definitely been the doing the lion's share for the last 16 years with Alter Bridge.
And Alter Bridge being like a wall of sound with Mark Tremonti, he's filling up a lot of space in the picture. How do you find your place in Alter Bridge? Because I could imagine that could be really hard.
Yeah, initially it was a real challenge just from a sonic standpoint, because he uses such a wide amount of frequencies, a lot of low end, then a certain cut in the top end. So I had to find the middle. The middle is where I tend to sit, and which once I discovered the certain amp guitar configuration, we were off to the races. But the first 2 or 3 years, I was trying every amp under the sun. It just could not pinpoint where I was going to sit in the mix with Mark. And once I discovered Diesel, the Diesel Herbert in particular, it was just like, oh, there it is. It fits in the mix perfectly. And we discovered that when we were making Blackbird. Actually, Elvis found a Diesel head in another studio. We borrowed it, and it was just like, well, there it is. And so we have been a loyal Diesel guy for years now.
Yeah.
And that's your, we'll say, main instrument, the guitar. But your other instrument, your voice, how do you take care of your voice? I remember I heard a rumor that you don't do interviews on show days. Is that to take care of your voice, or is it even true?
Yeah, that's true, and it's purely to take care of my voice. And it's something I don't – it bums me out because I like doing interviews, and I feel like not doing interviews on show days might send the wrong message to someone that I'm standoffish or not. I love socializing, getting to know fellow music fans. But the problem is the way my voice is, it's kind of a finicky instrument where – There's some guys I know who can sit there and talk all day long and use their voice nonstop, and they can still have it for the show. For whatever reason, mine is like, you know what? I'm going to give you an hour and a half to 2 hours, and you can use it during the show. And then the rest of the day, if you use it much more, I'm going to be mean to you. So my voice definitely is, it's kind of, as far as its stamina throughout the day, it likes to be turned off most of the time, which probably is a good thing with my bandmates because they don't have to listen to me talk. So it's probably a blessing for them.
I can imagine that you must have had some issues over time, waking up in the morning on a show day thinking, well, I'm not going to do this today. I will not be able to sing. What do you do?
Yeah. Oh, it's the worst feeling. It's a helpless feeling. It's a lot of stress and panic because Brian Marshall, our bass player in Alter Bridge, said it once, you know, you live to deliver. And it's true. I take it very seriously. And most important, I know there are people who have saved up their money and have waited for the show. And if I'm not able to deliver the way I'd like to deliver because of a cold or just wear and tear or whatever it is, lack of sleep, it breaks my heart. I want it to be good for them, but I'm human. So there are some days when it's just going to say, you know what, you're not going to be able to have the luxury of hitting every single note the way you usually do. So deal with it. So you got to go up there and just put on a smile and try and explain it to the audience and just have a good, ultimately it's about having a good time. Because if they sense that they see that you're getting bummed out or kind of throwing a pouty fit, that's going to bum them out. So you have to be professional about it. And that's something I've learned over the years, is to put on a happy face and just have a good time. And, you know, it's all about just showing up. Ultimately, they're happy to see you, and we're happy to see them. So it's about that rapport.
I heard other singers say, well, use honey, use ginger, use chili, whatever. Have you got any tips on preserving your voice?
Well, I'm a big fan of warm ups and warm downs and proper. It's a technique thing for me. And that's really to help maintain the ability to hit certain notes and a certain timbre and whatnot. But when you're in that situation where a virus or a bacterial infection hits you and there's nothing you can do other than just try and keep your immune system strong, it's really a matter of just trying to get as much rest as you can and the old, you know, drink your hot liquids and don't consume alcohol and basically don't have any fun.
Well, we have been talking about two of the greatest guitar players on earth, Mark Tremonti and Slash. We have to talk about the third guy, the king of them all, a guy we lost earlier this month, Eddie Van Halen. I'm getting emotional. Sorry.
Yeah.
He was the greatest. How did Eddie impact you over the years?
Eddie was the king. I would not have started playing guitar. I probably would not have ventured into the world that I am now as a recording artist had it not been for hearing him for the first time. And I remember being in the backyard with my little brother. We were playing what we call wiffle ball here in the United States. It's like plastic baseball. And I think I was in the seventh grade. And Eruption came on the radio, and I stopped. It was like time stood still. I couldn't fathom what I was hearing, and that was the beginning for me. He was and I think that solo in particular did that to a lot of guys from my generation. There were so many guitar slingers that evolved from that moment in time, and so many of us owe a massive debt to him. And yeah, he was the king.
And I guess rock wouldn't be the same without him being around, because, I mean, there were before him guys like Jimi Hendrix, Eric Clapton, guys that evolved the rock. But Eddie Van Halen took it to a completely different level.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, he pushed the boundaries so far. I mean, if you think of where it was prior to that, boy, he talk about a disruptor, you know. I think I'd be real curious what rock guitar would sound like in 2020 had he not come along in 1978.
I guess things would have been quite boring, right?
No, I think you could be right.
Well, at least we still got his music, and we still have all the things that he impacted over the years, and we can still, well, they're still preserved around. I need to ask you, because I know one of the things he did was to alter his guitar in many different ways. Well, actually putting in different pickups and doing stuff with waxing the pickups and stuff to isolate them. Have you ever done anything like that?
I never have. I'm not that much of a tech guy. That's one of the things that really impressed me about him as a kid. I'd read the stories of how he would, you know, like how he built Frankenstein, and how he would take the pickups out and be so bold as to do things like that with them. But I'm not technically savvy like that. So I tend to just, it's a lot of trial and error through products that exist. And then I try and find the right combination and just, you know, be grateful for the sound that I can get. But somebody like that, who not only can play like he did, but also has the ability to tinker and tweak knobs and solder wires together, that's a whole different talent in and of itself.
Exactly. So Miles, Walk the Sky 2.0 is coming out in 2 weeks time from now. You're coming out with a new solo album at some point. Have you any idea on when that will happen?
Well, I'm hoping for some point next year, provided the pandemic lets that happen. I mean, I think it's funny, as musicians, we all have these grand plans for record releases and tours, but I think that we're all at the kind of the mercy of the pandemic. So I'm fingers crossed that that's going to happen, because I'm very, very happy with how it turned out. But it's just a matter of kind of wait and see at this point.
Miles Kennedy, thank you so much for your time.
Steen, thank you. I've enjoyed this thoroughly. My
Rock Podcast. Disse var ordene fra Miles Kennedy, forsanger i Alterbridge. Tusind tak, fordi du lyttede med, og glæd dig til næste uge, hvor hovedpersonen er albumaktuelle Jesper Binzer. Jeg hedder Steen Skovgaard. Vi lyttes ved. My Rock. My Rock Podcast.